Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Tyler Drew Scott. Is that it? Yeah, at Tyler Drew Scott. If you want to tweet the show, you're more than welcome to do that. We obviously are going to talk about Lovie Smith, but in just a few minutes, about 5 minutes from now, DJ Reader is going to be joining us here on the show. He's going to call us from Cincinnati as they head to the Super Bowl and get it going on. Former Houston Texan DJ Reader in just a few minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we're looking forward to that. What a big loss he is, and a big gain for them. What a game he had against Tennessee. It was basically DJ Reader against Jeffrey Simmons to see who would have the bigger game. And in the end, even though Jeffrey Simmons was awesome that day, DJ Reader played a huge part in Cincinnati moving on, going to Kansas City, and now to the Super Bowl. So we'll talk to him. Obviously, the big story yesterday, Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith hired, not surprisingly, by the Houston Texans. He emerged just a couple of days ago. Now, Adam Schefter tweeted out, looks like Lovie Smith has emerged. Oh, wait. Then he retweeted and said, oh, the Texans say they've been talking about him. He's been a candidate for a while now. His candidacy has been talked about. Whatever. The Texans figured they can't hire Josh McCown.
They never mentioned any interview. I mean, come on now.
They
realized, oh, the optics are bad here. We faded a lot of stuff and not caring what people thought, but this one may get us. We're gonna bail on
the Athletics. I can't think of a better title for a story or a better description. Texans' messy search ends with Lovie Smith. I mean, it can't be better because it's the Texans, so it has to be messy. It has to be done awkwardly. It has to be done, a way no one else would do it. It just is so amazing that it doesn't matter what this organization does. They could screw up a soup sandwich. They really could. It is just amazing how it doesn't matter what they do. It's just awkward. Everything is awkward about them. Mm-hmm. And this was an awkward search again, just like Caserio was an awkward search. Ended like everybody just shook their head saying, what? This is, but he wasn't even talked about. What? Lovie Smith. He wasn't even talked about.
No.
I mean, it's just.
Name the time Lovie Smith was ever mentioned by anyone, by the Texans website, by anyone associated with the team, by any national media who will, get information out that needs to be gotten out. If Lovie Smith was a candidate, they would have mentioned he was a candidate.
Yeah.
If he was interviewed, they would have mentioned he was interviewed. He came on late because now there's. Now, I'm not saying that Lovie's not qualified. Lovie is substantially more qualified than Josh McCown. It's not even close. I honestly do not have a problem with Lovie Smith being hired. Is it the hot candidate? No. Are they ready to win? No. But Lovie has the temperament and the character and the moral compass and all the stuff the Texans look for and all the stuff that, you would typically ask for the check marks to be in place. He's going to check a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. We know it was Josh McCown was likely to be the guy, and I think the Brian Flores lawsuit was just, I think they're willing to fade the heat, but they brought him back for a second interview. But the Brian Flores lawsuit, I think, was just too much heat and they had to bail.
Yeah. This is Brian Flores' statement. Mr. Flores is happy to hear that the Texans have hired a black head coach, Lovie Smith, as Mr. Flores' goal in bringing his case is to provide real opportunities for black and minority candidates to be considered for coaching and executive positions within the NFL. However, we would be remiss not to mention that Mr. Flores was one of the three finalists for the Texans' head coach position, and after a great interview and mutual interest, it is obvious that the only reason Mr. Flores was not selected was his decision to stand up against racial inequality across the NFL. that may be the case, or Brian Flores was a real a-hole in the Miami Dolphins organization, and they just didn't want that anymore. After they had Bill O'Brien, right?
Yeah. So, frankly, after the stuff I heard, I'm surprised he got a second interview. If I'm being honest, after what they dealt with in the building So whatever. That's unfortunate that Brian Flores has to feel like he has to make a comment like that, a press release, which in essence makes it about him and not about Lovie Smith. On Lovie Smith's day, yeah, good for Lovie, but obviously I should have been the guy, except I filed a lawsuit. A, you don't know. You weren't going to be the guy. It was going to be Josh McCown anyway. And B, I just don't know why you want to make it about you when you. I had a friend of mine, a black agent, who tells me his thing is, we need a Rosa Parks on this whole black coaching thing right now. It's come to that point. Brian Flores ain't the Rosa Parks. He said, we don't need Brian Flores as the Rosa Parks. He goes, I know too much about it. He's not the right guy for this movement. Because when everything gets deposed, if he wants to take it to court, you know, it's gonna get a little bit messy. And their whole thing, his whole thing is, he's not the right guy. And I said, who's the right guy? He goes, I don't know. But it's not Brian Flores. So it's going to be interesting, because Brian Flores is going to move forward. The fact that he made this statement means that he's going to lean into, this is the narrative he's going to lean into, which means that his head coaching career could be over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It could well be over. He knew that when he took this. He said it in his statement. This could be it for me as far as head coaching.
It's so strange about the timing of him bringing a lawsuit.
Well, until after you find out whether or not you're going to be a head coach in the league.
Well, I know. I mean, like,
he forced the Texans' hand pretty much.
The same guy told me, he said, now Flores is going to do this. He can't do like Kaepernick and then get bought off by the league before he goes through depositions and forces, you know, owners to go through depositions about that in discovery. He said, if Brian Flores is going to do this, if he's decided this is the path he's going to take, then he better go all the way with it and don't pull up short. Well, if he goes all the way with it, then, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to hire him as a head coach because he is suing the league.
Right.
In essence. He's not suing. He hasn't named. He's named certain teams.
He has named, but he's also named the NFL teams. So anybody can catch it. So they are actually named in the lawsuit, even though they're not specifically named. Everybody is. Everybody's on watch. Now, the Texans hired a black head coach. So, I mean, does that let them off the hook? I don't know. All I know is how awkward and how messy, what a perfect word for this whole thing is. Hey, listen, Lovie Smith is just a transitional coach. We know that. He's 63 years old.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've seen Dick Vermeil.
Andy Reid is about that age right now.
Yeah, we've seen guys who've lasted. Marv Levy lasted long into.
I mean, not just Marv Levy, but I mean, you know, Bruce Arians is not young. Bruce's whole staff has been older at times.
But Bruce is going to turn into a transitional coach as well.
Well, but Bruce is, but he wasn't in Arizona. What I'm saying is, Lovie Smith could end up working for 6 years for the Texans if he has some success. That's two contracts.
Absolutely. I guess he could. I think we all know that he's a placeholder. Well,
let's see if Josh McCown is named to the staff. That's what's going to – because if it is, then Love – and remember, Lovie and Josh work together in Chicago, so they probably have a pretty good relationship. So it wouldn't shock me if Josh McCown were on the staff. And if he is, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. If everyone thinks that he's got a chance to be a good coach, Josh McCown – that's great. Let him coach. Like, learn to coach. So, that's how I feel about that. Learn to be a coach, and do it under Lovie Smith, who actually has the skins in the game to be a head coach. So, I'm happy for Lovie. And I know that people around the league are happy that Lovie gets a shot. And I don't think anyone's going to look at this and think this is a bad hire. I mean, he's a good defensive mind. You keep the same defense in place.
Yep.
There's a lot of advantages to hiring a Lovie Smith. And I think as a person, he is he's one of those guys that I think you build character, you know, football character in the building up with Lovie Smith.
All right, as we said, DJ Reader, former Texan, and now headed to the Super Bowl with the Cincinnati Bengals, joining us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. DJ, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man? How are you doing?
Man, we appreciate you being here. What a week. Tell us how this, I mean, going to Tennessee, going to Kansas City, getting to the Super Bowl. What a dream come true, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy adventure, but, you know, it's a dream come true. It's the only thing you ask for in your football career.
We're having a hard time hearing you, DJ. I don't know what.
Oh, how you're right, hold on. Let me go. Hello?
Can yeah,
you hear me out? That's it.
No,
that's
much perfect. Better. Much thanks, better. DJ, okay, welcome no, to the show. Man, we appreciate you. We really appreciate
we
you
miss
being
you,
here.
Man. We yeah. miss you.
Yeah, we miss you.
You don't miss us, though. I wouldn't if I were gone. I'd be like, oh, well.
Nah, just the weather a little bit.
Yeah, I bet you do miss the weather. Hey, I want to mention something to you real quick before you move on with Cincinnati. So I was in Mobile and visiting with Dabo Swinney on the sideline the other day. And I told him, we were talking about some of the players over the years. You said, you know who I watched? We were talking about Grady Jarrett a little bit. And I said, a guy that I had a conversation with on the field at the Senior Bowl where you told me about some of the stuff that had gone on with you and your father at that time, the issues with him. You and I talked on we talked about your trials and tribulations that season. And then you came in and had, I know that was an issue for you during the season. You came in and had a huge Senior Bowl. You've ridden that momentum into a great career with the Texans, a big free agent deal, and now a trip to the Super Bowl. Can you reflect on the time that you had to struggle with adversity in a personal sense, and then where you've come from during your career personally and professionally?
Me and my dad, that was really my Superman and, you know, my guy. And, like, you know, my best friend, you know, to have him go, not only go, but the day before my birthday, kind of, you know, just put that dark cloud over me as a kid. But, you know, one thing he's always told me, you know, forever is, you know, that there's so many things that happen, too much is given, much is required. So, you know, I just knew I had a lot on my plate. And football was the one thing that was consistent. Like, I was decent at school, and my dad was a teacher, and he was really homie all the time about it. But, you know, football was the thing that stayed consistent. And I was getting better at it. I'd seen improvement. I just became a better player, and I just really honed in and locked in on it. Like you said, I rode that momentum that, you know, I was down and out during that time. After that year, coming back the next year, then going through a suspension or just having to step away from football, it was just real tough on me. But, you know, some of the things I did when I was away really helped me reflect on just my life and what I really want to do. And when I came back, you know, having something taken away from you, you really love it that much more when you get back. When I came back, I just came back with a mindset that I was just going to play my heart out. I didn't think the NFL was ever even possible. That's not something I thought about. Like, I didn't think about playing football on Sundays. That's not it. I just knew I was a competitor, and I just wanted to go out there and compete every single day. And, you know, things just started to look up one by one. Never thought, you know, after I got drafted, really didn't think I was going to play that much. But just wanted to compete, just wanted a chance. Then I get there, I figure out maybe I'm a decent player. Go in. Never thought I'd be able to go into free agent and make a decent contract. But things look up and up, and I just, like you said, just keep riding the room because I just want to be the best player that I can be because, you know, I feel like my dad raised a man, and I just always want to make him proud in that sense.
You set some low expectations, DJ.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't low expectations. It's just I've always played ball, just really just baseball, and it's always been something's going to happen, like, eventually. Like, you know, you can compete as much as you want. Like, I'm super competitive. There's no, like, low expectations. Like, I want to win. If I do something, I want to win. But I'm not thinking about that other stuff before. Like, I have goals. I have personal goals. But I'm just thinking about being a good teammate and a good player and a good person every single day. Like, that's really it. I love to compete in football. I love to, like, and I'm good at it. Like, that's a blessing. And I love the game. I love the competitiveness of the game, the ins and outs of it, the thinking of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm a football junkie. But I just didn't know. Like, nobody I knew had ever went that far. And everybody I did know didn't play the position I played, so I had no idea. I'm not that kid who's into everybody else's stuff. I never was that person, so I had no idea, even if I was good. I've seen people I saw thought were amazing go from college and be back in a year, so I had no idea what to expect.
DJ Reader with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We can't let this go. You were a baseball player. What You played first base, I would imagine?
Yeah, I played first and pitched.
And pitched. What? Okay. How fast can you hump
it up?
Did
you bring that gas?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably topped out at like 93, 94. I probably sat like 88 to 91 my senior year in high school.
Wow. Wow. And how far could – how many homers did you hit in high school?
I don't remember. I know I hit over 500 last 2 years.
over 500. And I would imagine the ball jumped, so I would imagine you hit a few bombs.
Did you get into the Astros when you were here? Because you got drafted in 16, and, you know, everything just took off after that.
Yeah, no, I was a big fan. I got really into it. I go to a lot of games. I go to a lot of games still here in Cincinnati. And when I'm back there in the offseason, I'm still at a lot of games. So you'll see me either with my son or just hanging out at the games. I'll be there. I'm always around.
Yeah, that is awesome. DJ Reader with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, when you sign with the Cincinnati Bengals, it ain't like you're signing with the Patriots or, you know, Packers or somebody that's a perennial winner. It's amazing how quickly you guys have turned this thing around from the worst team in the league to going to the Super Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, but it's what I knew was possible. There's a bunch of guys in the locker room who just want to compete. I really want to play ball. And, you know, it takes time. It takes time to learn how to win. It takes a lot of time to put all the process together. I luckily was fortunate to draft into a locker room that they were already winning. So, you know, they taught me the attitude of winning. It's hard to do that when you're not already doing that and you don't got a bunch of guys around who know how to do it. And so, you know, came here, got a quarterback, got a bunch of guys around who had won before, came from winning programs and understood the process of winning, the work you had to put in, how you had to go about your business. And, you know, a bunch of the guys that stayed, they really honed in and really listened. And, you know, they were competitive already. They had a bunch of pieces. So, you know, it just took a belief and attitude and everybody really working towards one common goal.
Are you sick of Joe Burrow questions yet?
No. He's a man. I love him.
Is he a good guy? Tell us how really he changed that locker room.
He's just a really solid guy. I don't think that he came in and just changed the people, and I think more so he added to it a sense of confidence and a sense of just calmness. You know, he it's nerve wracking when your quarterback might be on or off some days, or just mentally just not there. And, you know, that's not a lot of people in the league, but it can be. But just more so, just he's confident, he's cool, he's collected, and everybody feeds off that. You know, when you got the guy back there, he has the ball in his hand most of the times, and he's got that next play mentality, then everybody else is going to have that. Nobody else is going to dwell on things that you do bad or even dwell on things that you do good. You just out there trying to compete and make plays.
DJ, we were happy for you, the contract that you got signed. We were sad, though, to see you leave. Did you see what was coming down the road for the Texans when you left? Did you get a sense that things could be going sideways in Houston?
No, not really. I mean, I was just a player. I was so far removed from that. And, you know, people try to tell you. I thought there were some things going on that I just didn't really know much about. You know, it was way above my pay grade or where I was thinking, but some stuff did seem a little strange, but then you don't know. Like, you don't know what's going on up there. I was 24 years old. I had no idea what was going on up there. So I'm like, whatever. Like, they'll figure it out. And it's so weird looking back on it now and looking at it, because it's just like, you had a bunch of guys who I enjoy. They're still my lifelong friends. And, you know, it's just way different now.
DJ Reader. DJ, your game against Tennessee, I thought it was basically you against Jeffrey Simmons, and you guys ended up on top. Is that one of the best games? I thought you were spectacular. Is that one of the best games you've ever played?
Yeah, I feel like it was one of my better games of my career. And then I was just looking at my other side of the field, like, dude, it's 98 for the other team. Going crazy. You know, I just try to go out there every week and be the best 98 on the field. And I'm like, man, I'm having a game. But I'm like, he's out there going bananas. So I'm like, man, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. It was good. It made it feel good. It made it competitive. That's really what I try to go out there and do every single game, especially if a guy's got my number, be the best guy in my number on the field. And he got after that game. But, you know, we came out with the victory, so it felt good.
This game, you got a one-up Aaron Donald, right?
Yep. I got to get after it.
Yeah.
Are you aware, by the way, that, I mean, the talk is all about Cincinnati's offensive line can't protect against the Rams' defensive front. I mean, I think people are sleeping on the fact that at times the Rams have had some trouble protecting, especially along the interior. We saw it with Jeffrey Simmons got off on them, and that happens to be the position you play as well. Have you guys, are y'all aware of the fact that, you know, the talk is about your O-line versus their D-line when your D-line versus their O-line is also a potential advantage for you guys?
No, no. A lot of people in this world like to take naps, so I let them sleep. So, you know, we got to play a game on Sunday, and we'll see.
A lot of people like – I like to take naps. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. I like naps, you know what I'm saying? So I haven't paid too much attention to what's going on TV. So I just let them nap, and then we'll see on Sunday, and we'll go out there and we'll get after it. It's going to be competitive.
DJ, we'll let you go, man. We know how busy this week is for you guys, and we really appreciate you being here. We certainly miss you. I'll tell you that. You were what a great pick you were for the Texans. It's unfortunate that it had to end that way. But, man, it sure is good for you being in the Super Bowl. Congratulations, man, and have a great day on Sunday.
No, I appreciate it, man. Y'all in good hands. I got your young boys like Roy Lopez. He's going crazy. So y'all good. That'll be all right. Y'all, thanks. Nice talking to y'all.
You too, man.
Thanks, DJ.
There's DJ Reader right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a good guy. I mean, my buddy set that up. He was there yesterday in Cincinnati, and he said, I'll ask DJ if he'll come on. He said he is the nicest guy in the world.
Great. He has a great head on his shoulder, too. Like, great feel for you. Can see why teammates love him. He's all about ball, about the guys around him.
First thing he said is, I just want to be the best person I can be every
day. Well, he says and does the things coaches like. I mean, Dabo had a lot of good things, but I remember reading a quote about it that, you know, so his dad passed away, and he really struggled with that and ended up getting suspended the next year. I think for, it wasn't like conduct detrimental. I think he just wasn't handling his business. But I remember reading to Dabo, and that's the one thing about Dabo Swinney is he gives guys a second chance to become who they're going to be. Like, I hear Dabo catches a lot of flack lately, it seems like. One of the things he does is really gives guys an opportunity to mature when they have issues. He doesn't just give up on guys. And he really, I remember reading about DJ Reader before I had to write him up in a Senior Bowl. He was a late addition to the Senior Bowl. And it was about Dabo talking about, you know, being suspended, but that he was coming back. And all of a sudden at the Senior Bowl, here's this big, you know, he looks the part, right? And then he's starting to dominate out there at the Senior Bowl. And just like he said, he was kind of an afterthought. I was like, holy crap, we got to start paying attention to DJ Reader. And once he said he went out to the gravesite. He told me he went out to the gravesite and just spent time with his dad at the gravesite. And just like talking to the grave, just communicating at the grave with his dad, just being... You know, he got some level of closure because he couldn't find closure. And then he spent time at the gravesite and really just came to terms with it, and it started to heal. Like, it was a healing process for him. And he was sharing all this with me on the field of the Senior Bowl. And that's when I realized, okay, this guy's a little different. He's, you know, and this is what you have to remember about young players and really all athletes. I know that we see them as guys on TV. We see them on Instagram. You see them as video game characters if you play a lot of Madden or whatever. But these are guys who have personal struggles, personal difficulties, sometimes tragedies you have to get through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to remember that what you see is not always going to be what you get. What you could get is when they're in their best frame of mind, or when they're not playing well, when they're professionals, they could be dealing with marital stuff, health stuff, family stuff.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I know people like to pretend like they're either Superman or they can,
robots.
You know, you can just talk any kind of way you want to them on social media, but these are still men, grown men who have some of the same issues. And some of them are young, young guys who are still either immature or struggling to deal with life events.
Yep, I mean, absolutely.
All kinds of things like that happen.
All right, let's take one here. And you got some reaction. You want to react about Lovie Smith. to DJ Reader. You want to talk, whatever you want to talk about, you are more than welcome to get in here at 713-780-3776. We've got a couple of callers already online if you want to get in here. Let's go. Right now, are you still looking for a great Valentine gift for your special someone? You know it's Monday, right? Give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively from pajamagram.com. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas. Just make her feel her. She's going to love it. It feels like her own soft skin. She'll love slipping these on every night. So soft, luxurious. They'll melt away her stress. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all. And you'll love the way that they look. Check them out at pajamagram.com. And guess they got this. Best of all, free gift packaging, which means you don't have to wrap a thing. So get naturally nude pajamas. Just go to pajamagram.com, or you can text the word GIFT, that is G-I-F-T, to 41234. Again, text the word GIFT to 41234 to order naturally nude pajamas. It's fast, it's easy, and delivery by Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Tell them that John Granato sent you.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. Good stuff. Thanks to my buddy for setting that up for us. DJ Reader, great get on the week of the Super Bowl. And what a really good guy. We'll probably be hearing some of his sound bites throughout the day right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What we got now is people that want to get in here and talk about Lovie Smith, so let's get going. Tyrone is first up to talk about Lovie. What do you say, Tyrone?
Hey, appreciate the call, guys. Help me out here. It's situations like words. I've been listening to John a long, long, long time, and that's great, you guys, and I appreciate the show. We all listen, and when we use words like messy, when we use words like he's just a transition, they were talking about that the other day. We already got him going out before he even gets started. And surely when we stand up and speak out for ourselves to try to help him better ourselves, like when the dads hired the Buddy Rhines and all them, they get themselves jobs. So who cares if that other guy had to be the scapegoat or the fall guy to open up people's eyes? But, John, when you use sarcastically and subliminally, I like the way you do it. You're quick with it. You're very quick and smart. And the way you use your words, we pay attention. We're not ignorant. But when you say it's messy and he's on his way out, unlike Lance, you know what? Oh, and then you say, oh, he's old. You try. It's the process of the way you that's how they think. Most people think like that. And that's what you're sending that message on the radio. He's already out. So if he loses a struggle, John said it way back then. Radios have a lot of control, and they wonder why we push back. And we're trying to stand up, and we want to see change, too. It's not fair, and you're on the air, but I hope they can have a meeting with you so you can, you know, dumb it down a little bit, because it's obvious and it's evident, but you think we don't hear this. We love listening to you guys, but you just show us the true colors when you say stuff like that. The man is out before he gets in. Lance is that equalizer, because Lance will catch and say, oh, no, you know what? No. And he'll start, what about Levy? He's old. And so, John, you're good with that. And that you need to understand we hear you and we see. Thank you.
Got it. I got it, Tyrone. Okay, that is a fair assessment. My issue,
Messi,
Tyrone,
was a headline, by the way.
Messi was a headline in The Athletic, yeah. By the way. It wasn't my headline. It was the headline in
Although
The
you
Athletic.
You agree with it, and I do. This has been a messy hiring process in terms
it's
of
every, listen. In Tyrone, it was even messier for Nick Caserio, and we said it. It was ridiculous the way Nick Caserio was hired. It's not about black and white. It's about the way the Texans do things. It's not.
It's not about Lovie.
I'm not poo pooing the fact that Lovie Smith got the job. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to change history here. I did think about Lovie Smith. You've got Lovie Smith, and I asked about Lovie Smith, the defensive coordinator. I don't listen. I don't hate the hire at all. I think Lovie Smith he deserves another shot in the NFL. He was successful. He's got a winning record in the NFL. He had a real problem in Tampa. He was 8-24, but you know what? He really was successful. He got to the Super Bowl in Chicago. he it didn't work out in Illinois. He did go to a bowl game, but he never had a winning season.
Todd Bowles is a better. I mean, if you're looking at defensive coordinators, and they're, you know, if you want to look at a black head coach, a defensive
Raheem
coordinator,
Morris.
Yeah, but he wasn't great at Illinois, but I'm okay with Lovey. The one thing he mentioned is, I do think it is okay to not call. I know we have our thoughts personally about how the Texans operate, and I understand. Tyrone John's talking about how the Texans operate.
Yeah, I said the same things, yeah. And it was actually even worse about Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio, it's not about African American. It's not about race. I hear that you hear, but guess what? You didn't call in when I was calling it messy, but with Nick Caserio, did you? It's the way the Texans do business. They're terrible at it.
But I would like to give Lovey a chance to be the coach. Like, I don't care that he's 63. I don't think 63 is any kind of a death sentence for a coach. There's been lots of coaches that do a really good job at that age. It's just everything, the hot thing now is 30-year-old coach, 40-year-old coach. But I think Lovey can still – I think Lovey's the right guy for this situation. I really do. David Culley was – and I think that's who he was referencing before. David Culley was in over his head. Lovey's not in over his head. No one thinks Lovey is in over his head. I'd like to give Lovey a chance to be successful, because Lovey is a guy who, and I have friends who worked for the Bears under with Lovey, scouts and personnel guys, and they've said such great, like, I've heard great things about Lovey for a long, long time. But you've got a little. Great, you've been sporting a gray beard, and so for you to hate on another guy with a gray beard
feels
a little bit ageist of you when you're like, Lovey's too old, get him out. Like you
said
earlier.
I never said Lovey's too old, get him out. I love Lovey's beard. I mean, I wish I could grow it as long as he does.
Long like
no,
Lovey.
No. It's awesome.
Just let it grow.
Yeah.
Like a Tyler's.
I could.
Tyler's got that long
beard.
Yeah,
I don't know, though.
I've seen Tyler go short.
I'm kind of old. I don't have that much time, Tyler. How long have you been doing that?
About a year.
About a year.
You cut it back and then it grows back.
Yeah, trim it down a little bit.
I don't know the Ozarks Motel look. It's just not for me.
So what you're thinking, though, is that the Texans view him as a transitional coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that there is a chance. I am interested to see if Josh McCown is hired on the staff.
If Josh McCown is on the staff, you know where this is headed. You know where this is headed. This is about how the Texans do business. It's not about me. Luan says, damn. Hey, Tyrone was hitting John Granato with body shots. Listen, where were those body shots when Nick Caserio was hired? Where were those body? I mean, I was saying the same damn things. The Texans, and by the way, it was the Athletics, like you said, Lance, the Athletics, their headline, not mine, which I agreed with, because the Texans suck at the way that they do business. They're awful. I hope Lovey wins. Tyrone, do you really believe that Lovey's going to be able to win with this roster?
Will they give Lovey a chance?
Absolutely. I hope Lovey wins a Super Bowl here.
My concerns are not Lovey Smith based. They're Texans based. This is the thing. If you want a black head coach hired in Houston, be careful, because this is not a great chance, a great spot to win. And I think that's been one of the concerns that people have behind the scenes, is that some of the positions. You know, this is a tough. There's a no chance for any success for David Culley. It was no chance. That was a lottery ticket he got, but it came at a price. It came at a price. Lovey is a guy who knows what he's up against. He's not going to get a brand new coaching job with a team that's like a Minnesota Vikings. That ain't coming for Lovey. Teams don't come for 60-year-old coaches who. You know, for a team that they think have some, they all want they want a younger guy from this coaching tree and all that stuff. So this is a spot that Lovey took. He's here, and I don't think Lovey cares how, you know, the reasons they gave it to him. I think he just wants and he deserves a fair shot. And this is the difference between David Culley and Lovey Smith. David Culley was put into a position for one reason. He is malleable, and Nick Caserio and those guys could, you know, maneuver around him and still be heavily involved on the team side. This is the thing. Lovey ended up having some disagreements with Jerry Angelo when they were in Chicago. Lovey actually wanted some control over personnel. That ain't going to happen with the Texans.
No.
That's not going to happen. But I can also tell you this. Nick Caserio, I am curious if Nick's going to be – I think he'll be on the headset and all that stuff. I don't think that's a nefarious thing that's going on. I think Nick loves. I heard that again at the Senior Bowl when he was there. Although what I heard is that Nick tried too hard to be a football coach when really he was Bill Belichick wanted him on the personnel side. So, but Nick has this thing where he wants to be on the coaching side. Like that's his love, and this is his chance to be involved in the game. I don't know that Lovey's going to love that.
Well, and I hope not.
Depending on what it looks like.
Why does every general manager here want to do every job? Just go general manage and find players. Find good players, Nick Caserio. Get off the football field. Be looking for good football players that can come in here and win. And I hope Lovey Smith wins. If you're an NFL, if you're a coach and your job is to win with this football team, yeah, good luck with that.
It's going to be hard,
because it's not about Lovie Smith. It's about this crap organization. That's what it's about and how they do things. Dude, I sat down yesterday and I had a conversation with somebody that was in the organization about Jack Easterby, and all of the things that I thought about Jack Easterby were magnified. We don't want to harp on this, but I got to tell you, Jack Easterby in this organization is just poison. It's just poison. It just is. And it's just a shame that he's got such a stranglehold on this owner. And I don't know that things are going to change here for a long time because of that dude. I just heard stories that I wanted to puke. Ben is here. Let's get him in here. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Quick question. I have a question about Nick Caserio. How long of a leash does he actually have? I feel like with every coaching hire he has an excuse. With David Culley, he says, well, I didn't want him. No coach wanted to come here. Now with Lovey, which I'm okay with too. Don't call me racist. With Lovey, if he didn't hire him, the Texans would be called the most racist organization. And then whenever Josh McCown comes, he can be like, that's an Easterby hire. That's a Calvin Air hire. You wanted him. My question is, when is he going to be held accountable?
You're talking about Nick?
I'll hang up the list.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, by Nick.
This is Nick's. This is Nick's hire. There's no way around it. Like, you can't. Although, it doesn't matter what we say. Once again, everything that we do, this counts. This is Nick's second hire. It doesn't matter what we say, what anyone in the national media says. The only thing that matters is what Cal thinks. That's the only thing. So we could say Nick needs to be held accountable if this coaching hire doesn't work, or David Culley was actually Nick's hire. It doesn't matter who. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is, does Cal McNair want to give him a second contract? That's it. And Nick's got a 6-year deal?
Yeah.
This is year 2.
And guess what?
This is year 2.
Guess what?
He ain't going anywhere.
Nick is beholden to Jack Easterby, so he ain't going anywhere. It's a quid pro quo. If you lose your owner $22 million, you got to walk into that office and say, yeah, we got to pay this guy $22 million for 1 year because we screwed up. You know what the owner should do? And you know what the owner didn't do? Anything. You know what the owner said? Oh, good. Well, let's go get another guy. Here, and Nick's in charge. Go get it. Man, I'll tell you what I would have done if he walked in and said that. Oh, really? You numbnuts? You really? We had this guy for 1 year and we paid him $22 million? Are you just throwing my money around? They're Teflon. They're Teflon in that organization. It's unbelievable how inept that organization is. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. You've got some thoughts on this, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, I've got to talk about Jeff Aronoff, an absolute marble in granite, and the greatness that is Jeff and what he can do for you and do for your home and clean it up, make it better. Granite, marble, tile, whatever it is. I mean, and listen, start it with the bathrooms. Start it with your vanity. Start it with your new tile in your bathrooms, because that is a pretty good indicator for anyone who's going to buy your home. When they walk in and you've got wonderful bathrooms, they're like, wow, this place is classy. It is classy. If you're looking for the best way to make your place more valuable, because that's the key to this thing, is how long have you been there? And is your home really, is it adding to the value, or are you going to have a loser here? Well, you got to upgrade people, be it inside or outside. It doesn't matter. Jeff Aronoff is going to get that job done, be it restaurant or business or whatever. It can be your home or your business. Jeff Aronoff will get that job done. At 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you didn't hear him, DJ Reader was with us here a little bit earlier in the show. He came on about 10 after or so. So you can go back to the podcast and listen to that if you missed it. DJ Reader, former Texan and current Cincinnati Bengal, playing in the Super Bowl. It was good for him to leave and actually be in the Super Bowl, because he wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be there if he was with the Houston Texans. Hey, this segment right here is sponsored by Damaris Barbecue. Have you tried their baked potato stuffed with beef fajita meat? And you get all the fixings on top of it. It is extraordinary. I had one last week, as a matter of fact. It is extraordinary.
Be about it.
Bring it up. They're not in England, but it's still extraordinary.
You know, one of my favorite things is stuffed baked potatoes. One of my favorite things in the world is stuffed baked potatoes.
Their baked potatoes are spectacular. Look at that thing with the beef fajitas.
That's what it's supposed to
look
like.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Where you got to take the foil and rip the foil off. And barbecue places, they'll
bring it without the foil, too.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's smart. Because,
and also, do they have it where it's crunchy? Where the skin is a little bit crunchy. Yeah. Oh, that's the best. Yeah. I'll take the skin out too. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And the whole plate can get it.
That's where all the nutrients are.
Yeah,
in the skin.
Yeah.
Helps you run through everything.
That's what I ate. Zip. I ate the whole thing last week. So let's get Gilbert in here and see what Gilbert thinks about the Lovie Smith hire. Hey, Gilbert.
They should have hired him at the beginning last year, probably. You know.
Yeah, they should have. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. John, I'm really mad at Wendy and you.
Hold on a second. This is now the second person that's got a little beef with you.
Mad with
in
me
a row.
Yeah. No. We had one in between that wasn't mad.
Oh, Ben was. Well, we don't know if he was or not. He may have kept it to himself.
He did want to make sure that nobody thought he was racist because he wasn't. Yeah.
I heard.
All right. Yeah, I guess I'm racist on both sides. For you know, with Casario, I'm anti-white.
And with Gilbert,
I'm anti-white,
anti-Asian. Maybe I don't
know. I'm not anti-Asian. Why are you mad at me and Wendy, Gilbert?
Why are you saying my picture anyway?
What picture?
I took me at that nursing home.
Well, I didn't. You have to print it out, Gilbert, and I don't have.
What's he doing, Gilbert? All he does is play golf. He can't take a day off of golf to print a picture?
I don't know how to do that, Gilbert. Do you know how to print?
Wendy knows how to do it, probably.
Yeah, Wendy knows. She didn't have anything to do.
No, she doesn't know how to do that.
She knows how to do a picture.
She's busy working, Gilbert.
Open an email.
I'm busy playing golf all day.
Open an email and let Gilbert.
Does Wendy play golf?
No, Wendy doesn't play golf.
Oh, she doesn't?
No.
Guess she should be sending my picture. You see, I set you up?
She works all day, Gilbert.
Oh, Wendy plays golf? No.
No.
Exactly.
Then she should be sending pictures, wouldn't you?
Thank you. Got him.
Why do you want pictures of Wendy all the time?
Me and you, Wendy, together anyway. Come to my house before you go on your trip.
No. We can't come to your house before we go on the trip, Gilbert. It's next week or something.
Maybe. I know. Can you come a little bit earlier, you know, and take a picture of me and Wendy?
Well, yeah, I don't. Gilbert, I'm not. Wow. It just I don't know. Maybe I can't promise anything, Gilbert. We're heading out of town, so I don't know. I can't promise anything, Gilbert. Okay, all right, buddy.
When we come back, do you do that?
Maybe when we come back,
he'll definitely come by after he comes back.
Maybe before he leaves.
Okay, one more thing.
What is it?
I'm craving for the egg rolls and try to guard a crane for the Eagles. Since they got back from the hospital, you know.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, well, could use some egg rolls.
When you come by.
I'm going to say it one more time. Somebody please buy some egg rolls from Chai Garden anyway.
Okay.
Birthday this month anyway.
You got a lot of money we gave you.
Yeah, you got $1,000.
You know what? You got $1,000. Why don't you get an Uber, go to China Garden, get some egg rolls? You got all kinds of money now.
I don't like all that.
I don't want to go to Uber. It's dangerous.
Uber's dangerous?
Uber's dangerous. That's right. I heard a lot of stories about that anyway.
Well,
I've never had an issue.
I've never heard any stories about
I've heard stories, but
I see it on Inside Edition anyway, you know. Nasty drivers anyway, you know.
Yeah.
They rape the girl and all that, you know.
Oh, geez.
Wow,
people,
yeah.
You know?
Louise,
I don't think, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get
that. I've taken lots of Ubers that have gone maybe a little too much talking, and maybe the last guy I had took 25 minutes to get to Riel, which was not, it said 17 minutes when we took off. That tells you how terrible a driver he was. And I do like that Gilbert just said.
We'll fly. We'll talk to you later. Then.
Okay, we'll see you, Gilbert. I do like he said, once again, let me say this. Can somebody please buy me some egg rolls from China Garden?
No.
Now, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. Was Gilbert given $1,000 in cash by the listeners?
Yes, he was.
But he wants somebody to buy him some egg rolls. Now, I understand if he's saying, look, why don't you hook me up and I'll pay you when you get here.
No,
but I just can't drive. I don't drive anywhere and I'm not taking my bike anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a long bike trip to get egg rolls.
Right.
That tells you how good they are.
So Gilbert he's amazing.
Come on by.
He's just amazing.
Get the picture.
While you're there, the big
sure
relentless,
could use some egg rolls.
The Big Relentless is not going to end.
That's
until
his
we
nickname
go to his
was
house
the Big Relentless, and now you know why.
Until he gets that picture, and then we're gonna have to print it out for him. And I'm busy. 713-780-3776. Gilbert sure has been busy since his nursing home stint. Yep, he sure has been. The Texans thought they would give themselves 2 third-round picks for hiring a minority head coach. I'm not sure, but maybe they do. Hey,
they don't get anything.
What?
You don't get picks. It's from another team, which incentivizes the other team to develop African-American
candidates.
Well,
they developed him.
Maybe somebody will pick Lovey off.
Why don't they get? They developed him as a defensive coordinator.
Did they develop him, or was he already a head coach with two different NFL teams?
I don't care. No one cares about that.
They're not getting
anything. Facts are facts.
Now this was
they developed him into a head coach.
This is the question that Shaw said. Hold on, let me pull it up. He said, "All I keep reading is at least Lovey's a better candidate than McCown and Culley." That's not a ringing endorsement. That's like seeing a 300-pound chick in a room full of 400-pound chicks and convincing yourself she's the finest one because she don't weigh 400 pounds. Well, the reality is, if you're just being real about it, you're not going to find a lot of excitement per se, because Lovey's last two head coaching stints, he was 8-24 and 17-39. Okay? The reality is he was 25.
You're being negative. Racist.
25-63.
Racist.
Ringing endorsements come on the heels of winning.
Racist.
Well, I'm just saying ringing endorsements come on the heels of winning football. And Lovey's last
Tyrone,
two.
Call it now.
And Lovey's last two. Well, that's why you're not hearing like it is better than the alternative. Is he what you would typically want? From, you know, a guy who's on the come up or a guy who is coaching at a high level? No. But he's got that experience. There was a lot of excitement in Tampa when he was hired. A lot. There was a lot of excitement in Illinois. I was just reading that 2,000 season tickets were sold the day he was hired at Illinois. There has been excitement for Lovie Smith. He went to a Super Bowl.
So I got people in Chicago. My niece's husband texted. He goes, "Lovie?" And I go, yeah, you know what? We just want the best. And he goes, I love Lovey in Chicago. Because Lovey was there for how many years? 7, 8 years in Chicago?
Lovey
was
there for
Lovey
a
took
while.
Him to the Super Bowl. He said, "Oh, I love Lovey. I just didn't think he was a candidate." And I was like, I know. Well, none of us did. He had zero interviews anywhere. He was never mentioned on the Texans website when they had their four finalists. Texans put up, now, it wasn't us. It wasn't us that said, hey, here's the finalist for the job. It was the Houston Texans that said, here are our four finalists. And they are this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And Lovie Smith wasn't one of them. Okay, so it's the Texans that have surprised everyone by this hire. And you know what? I wish Lovie nothing but the best. I hope our team wins. I want our team to win. All I know is they're a bunch of misfits. It is a ship show there. That's all I know. It's a ship show.
How about this? This is a very... So, when we come back, I'll talk about something because a friend of mine had something to say, African-American, works in the business, had something to say about Eric Bieniemy.
Okay.
And now there's some news coming out about Eric Bieniemy and the Chiefs. I want to get to that when we come back because it's pretty interesting.
Well, Tyrone is calling back, too. He wants, I don't know if he... Now he's got... Now it's your turn. I guess.
No.
Well, you just said that Lovie wasn't.
I'm saying that's why people are like.
You just said that. It's racist.
David Shaw said, why is everyone acting like it's the 300-pound girl in a room of 400-pound girls? Yeah. Which was sexist, by the way.
And
I did not condone that. Right. Let the record reflect.
All right. Right now, though, I'm talking about HRP. HRP.net. 281-880-65, 25 or HRP.net. If you have some issues in your locker room or your business or wherever, I don't know where you work, but if you've got HR issues, guess what? People, all you got to do is have HRP take care of that for you. Listen, you do not want to do that by yourself. You do not want to do all your taxes by yourself. You don't want to do your Affordable Care Act by yourself. You don't want to do all your 401ks and all the benefits packages and everything else. Of course, HRP, what they do is they give you choices on that. They gave us choices. What's the best for your business? Here's a choice of different 401ks, insurance packages. That's not something that you should, that HRP does. What they do is payroll and HR. These other payroll companies, what they're doing is they're sticking you with their insurance. They're sticking you with their 401ks, and that's where they're gouging you. But at HRP, they give you those choices. That's different. And oh, by the way, they do a great job. And they customize a plan that's perfect for your business, for your HR and your payroll, and they're affordable care experts. So if you're looking for that kind of service in your HR and payroll company, well, then go with our HR and payroll company. It's HRP. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.